Feeding Drupal session. My name is Omar Bakel. I'm one of the co-founders of Kumbit.org, the original and I believe largest Drupal shop in Montreal. I start all my presentations with a little disclaimer saying that I'm not necessarily an expert in this. I'm more of an enthusiast. I know enough, hopefully, to be able to present something interesting. Basically, before I even start, I mean, the reason why I'm an enthusiast, not just of feeds, but of Drupal in general, I started using Drupal. The first website we launched was actually fall 2001. So for those of you, that's like almost before Drupal.org domain had even been registered. And what attracted me to it at the time was that I'm not a programmer. I can read code, I can tweak it, but I'm not a programmer. And back then, it was a bunch of PHP and MySQL, and if you took enough time just looking at it, you could figure out how to tweak stuff. More interestingly is as time went on, we got more and more of these tools, these power user tools, these tools that allow people like me to click their way through to very powerful solutions. And that's something that has always really excited me about Drupal. The other thing is being open source and how modular it was, you could really see that this would become really your Swiss Army knife, your tool to build anything in the age of information. And what I want to get at is increasingly as time goes on, as we move into this kind of service economy the age of information, your ability to put food on the table is more and more based on your ability to take data, aggregate information, add value to it by manipulating it one way or the other, and then pushing it back out. So Drupal's great for you know, manipulating information. It's pretty good at displaying it too. And it has some ways to get data in, but some of those ways often are kind of obscure or obtuse for non-programmers. So yesterday, for example, we saw a session on the Migrate module. The last version of the Migrate module actually had a certain amount of GUI. But even then, you pretty much need to be a programmer. Now they kind of acknowledged that and pretty much got rid of the whole GUI, so it's all programming. So Feeds, which is the module I want to talk about, is a solution that is more accessible to your power user and that will allow you to a tool to get information into Drupal. And don't be misled by the name. It's not just about getting feeds into Drupal, RSS, Atom, whatever. It's about getting pretty much anything. You can pull out of files. You can pull out of MySQL tables. You can do pretty much everything. And it's a modular system. So just quickly, I'd like to thank Development Seed. For those of you who knew it, this was a company that really did a lot of really innovative work and a great culture, too, that they brought to the community. Unfortunately, they've moved on at this point, and I do miss them. I'd also like to thank Rabbi Millet, who was originally supposed to co-present this with me. But while he's not here today, he did help put together some of these slides, and he's also just really smart and nice guy, and I want to give him a shout-out. So what I'd like to cover today is kind of a little bit about why feeds and not the aggregator, and then talk about actually how this whole feeds thing is built, which involves these mappers, parsers, fetchers, and processors. A little bit about some extra modules that are out there, and then some kind of demos of kind of use cases for it. You know, it's really so flexible that I can only touch on the topic here. And so let's just see how it goes. So the core aggregator of Drupal is good enough if you don't need to do anything with the information. You don't need to add taxonomy on it. You can take what it gives you as is. Your sources are really just RSS feeds or Atom feeds. Or, you know, you like that the little blog B buttons that show up to help you take stuff from aggregated RSS and individually kind of blog on them, making notes out of them individually. But it's kind of crap anyway, because you turn on the blog module, and then, you know, every user in your system has a blog, which might not be what you had intended anyway. But basically, look, what is the beauty of Drupal? The beauty of Drupal is these nodes with these fields, and then everything else that extends from there, views, etc. And you don't get any of that with the default aggregator. So feeds, as in the feeds module, which I guess there'll be a link sooner or later to that, is actually just, first, historically, it's a descendant of the feeds API, which previous module, so now it's just called feeds. And it allows you to parse all kinds of stuff. And there's new modules showing up all the time to help you parse even more. It can store nodes. It can store content as nodes, which is really cool. Sometimes you don't want nodes. You actually do want something. There's something called the data module that creates like lightweight objects. So if you're really processing a whole lot of stuff all the time, data module might be interesting. But you have some flexibility there. Of course, you know, what is so hot about Drupal for so long has been this kind of node and fields thing, and then and so the ability to be able to map stuff to CCK fields is huge. So, but great, you're not just limited to just nodes either. You can create users out of this, Ubercart projects, files, taxonomy terms, the works. So it's really a great, really a flexible solution. Works through cron or on its own with optional modules, whatever. Some possible use cases. I mean, we can. So why do you want this? Well, so we have a site here. I don't know. Can I actually click on this? I guess I can. Will it actually bring me somewhere? Maybe not. So this is a site. Observatoire Informatique Libre Québécois. It's actually, honestly, this is based on Feeds API. So it's just to give you the example. This is a site that pulls in like 300 different feeds. Now, you know, sure, some aggregation sites, that's okay. But what's interesting is when you can kind of mix and match the content that you're getting from all these feeds. So to be able to categorize it, add tags to it so that, you know, you can click on a tag, a category, and it basically will be showing you results from all kinds of different sources. In the core aggregator module, sure, you can create categories and put them together, but that's it's essentially a manual process. You have to decide everything you want ahead of time, and that's what you're going to get. This thing, you know, as you add tags, you add tags. You're not having to have thought about which categories, which groupings am I going to want ahead of time. So that's just one kind of really obvious example. But more interestingly is that it can allow you to do one-off imports or even for complex upgrades. As you can see, my presentation is only slightly prepared. What I mean by one-off imports is, so the next time that somebody comes to me asking me to do an upgrade from a Drupal 4.7 to a 6 or something like that, I'm not going to try and go through all the upgrades. It's hell. It's probably not going to work because you got all these intermediate modules that existed for a while then don't exist anymore, and you're having to jump through all those hoops. Basically, what I would do is just set up my Drupal 6 or Drupal 7 and then manual and use feeds to get the content out of those tables and map them into my new tables. And I think that'd be a lot more, a lot less painful. So that's like the idea of a one-off import, or a one-off import of scraping a whole bunch of web pages, getting some stuff into Drupal, and then I'm good with that. Alternatively, I could use it for regular imports. So what I mean is I want every week to go get the price of rice on 20 different sites, and so that I can have a comparative list that's up to date and maybe calculate the average price from all these different sources and have that done on a regular basis. finally, for me, there is my original motivation. In fact, before I even got into Drupal or anything, I remember I had seen the CIA World Factbook. I thought, oh, that's kind of neat, but this is crap how they present it. It's country by country or criteria by criteria. Like, you can look at Albania and see everything, or you can look at unemployment and see all the countries. But you can't do anything smart with it. Like, show me all the countries where GDP is over that and unemployment is under this. Much less go further and say, well, yeah, show me, calculate the total population of that subset. So you got all these sites that are providing data in this very static form, and sometimes you even think it's on purpose, that they're not wanting people to be able to do real research with it. And I ended up, that time, I used, of all things, Excel, which had this import thing, and I would just import all these pages and use macros in Excel to, like, rip it to bits and try and reorganize it. Obviously, suboptimal approach. And this feeds is again gives you this ability to take what other people are providing in a less valuable form and put it back out in a much more valuable one. Finally, the obvious thing, and these are all kind of similar in a way, but creating mashups. So taking not just the price of rice off of these 20 pages on this one website so that I can calculate it more reasonably, but taking the price of rice from that place and the price of transportation from that place and coming up with a cost of bringing rice to where you want it. Something like, I'm just making these up on the fly. But creating mashups, I mean, mashups are really where you see a lot of value being created on the web. Here I gave an example, in fact, of I have an example of Munid's Web. This is a project that Kumbit kind of just did on the side. It's only half launched right now. But the idea is that we went to all, we took information from three different official sources about municipalities in Quebec and, you know, brought it all in here. This is actually a website, an organic groups-based thing where every municipality will have its own section, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not here to talk about that. I'm just wanting to show this as an example of where, you know, you can do a search up here. It's showing you the list, and then you're having some calculation done on it. So the sources of information, there's multiple sources of information. You got it's all node-based and powered, so you can do searches and filtering and all this nice stuff. And, you know, views enabled, so you can actually list them and even do views calculations and stuff to get some results. A lot of value being added here, and it's now a research tool. It can be used as a research tool. Oh, great. Okay, so I can't slideshow anymore. Does somebody know why I can't slideshow anymore? Nice. Okay, well, okay, you can kind of see it. Let's just go with that then. I have no idea. Some possible use cases. Now, feeds architecture. So now we'll eventually get to see some real screenshots. Don't worry. Not even screenshots, real examples. Yeah, maybe. There it is. Thank you. Well, that wasn't it, but you led me to the right thing in some way. Okay, so feeds architecture. Fetchers. So you have basically, when you're going to build a feed importer, these are the items that we're going to be working with. Fetchers, which are like, am I getting it from file? Am I getting it from the web? Parsers, you know, what kind of information is this? Is this tabular information? Is it, you know, is it a CSV? Is it HTML markup? Is it XML? You know, all these kind of things. Processors. What do I want to get out of this? Do I want nodes? Do I want data objects? Do I want other importers? So what I mean by that is, so this feeds thing is basically you're going to say, you know, here's a node. Here's a, you know, sort of an original list. And I want you to go to each one of those and grab something. And you could just stick those in nodes and fields and call it a day. Or you can say, actually, each one of those things, I'm then going to want to click on, or it's click, you know, go get what, jump another hop out of that. So my first importer is just to get the list of the 200 countries. And then my second importer is to go get the unemployment and GDP information on each of those countries, depending on how, you know, the source you're looking at. But basically, that's processors are, you know, how, what kind of outputs are we wanting. And then mappers, which is, you know, mapping, you know, from your first name here to your prénom over here, you know, mapping field to field. So, again, the actual definition that I found on the glossary page, a plugin responsible for downloading, loading, or receiving a feed or a feed source. Parser, a plugin responsible for bringing a fetched feed into a normalized format for processors. Yeah, that's really clear. Processor is a plugin that does stuff with a parsed feed. Usually a processor stores a feed in one or the other form. Whatever, let's move on there. Mapping, good enough. But wait, there's more. A lot more. As I said, there's these third-party modules. So this is, just get a look at this. So basically, when you're parsing, you got different kind of things you want to parse. Some of them you might have to build manually, but otherwise, before you do that, look at what you have here. You have, you know, just parsers for emails, for LDAP, for OAuth, XPath parser, very cool, Flickr parser, YouTube, SlideShare, etc., etc., etc. Huge amount of sources. So basically, very powerful for you have pretty much anything. You want to get it into Drupal, here's the way you can go about doing it. Look, I'm not even halfway through it, or I guess I am, but still. Long, long. Now this time I go right back there. There. Yeah. So basically some of the things, I'm going to use managing news to demo one thing. So managing news. Who here knows what managing news is? A couple people, not so many. So this amazing company called DevSeed put together a Drupal distribution called Managing News. And it's basically, sorry, maybe I can find a better one here, a default one. You know, you basically install it, and this is what it looks like once you're logged in. And what's it's all built on top of this feeds approach. And we'll let's try something. So over here we got this is The Guardian, which is one of the newspapers that's kind of releasing the WikiLeaks feeds cables. And they have a feed here. Now that feed, you click on that, it brings you to here. So it's just a feed. Let's take the address of that feed. Stick that into, so basically when you install, managing news is pretty much what it looks like out of the box. Add feed. Stick the URL in. I won't even bother with the rest of it. Save. Live demos. And there is one thing that I don't know why isn't working, but look at what it did. It's tagged. It's figured out tags, including for some place names, like Africa. Some of this might have been in the original feed. Some of it is feeds itself doing it. So this thing isn't working. Maybe there is something broken. But basically, normally, the way it's supposed to work is right away, you know, a city name is mentioned, and you already have a dot on the map. And that, again, this is, so what it's doing is, I'll show you. It is going and extracting those country names and creating taxonomies with it. So let me give you a look at one of these here. Actually, wait. Sorry, I got too many tabs, and then I look up and I get lost. Okay, let's put them right next to each other. There you go. So, admin. Let's try and see what's happening. Site configuration, I think it's a little hard to find here again. Importers, do we see importers somewhere? Import OPML. Okay, what am I missing? Automatic term extraction, that's not what I want. Okay, well, let's go over where I know I can find it. Okay, edit. I'm just editing a random one, and the processor, for example, so we said the process, so here's these pieces we were talking about, the you know, how are you going to fetch the file, how are you going to parse the file, and what do you want to do with the results here. So I just clicked on, which one did I click on, processor, and I have all these different kind of processors I can do. I can create data table records, extract term processors. So there's a specific processor that comes with it that's designed for taking an inputted list and then using that to try and find those terms inside of your content. And when it does find them, add in a taxonomy term, associating a taxonomy term to the node. Feed node processor. This is the one where I was saying, you know, the first one is just going to get the list of countries, and then you're going to want to go get the unemployment and GDP figures. So the first one where you're getting the list of countries, I'm going to want those first results to actually be feeds themselves. So you're creating one feed to get the list, but then I'm going to want to go out and use those again, so those things have to be feeds. So you're using a feed to create feeds, which are then going to go and create standard nodes. So this would have been for the first step of getting the country names. This would have been for the second step of now I'm actually creating nodes with the GDP and unemployment number. Taxonomy term processor. The first one was for extracting, recognizing and extracting taxonomy terms from content and associating to the node. This one is for just saying, hey, I've got a list of 200 taxonomy terms, and I want 200. You know, I want to create 200 taxonomy terms in my table. So you could imagine using this one to populate your list of things that you will then want to use by that one to extract in your content. User processor. Hey, at the end of the day, I'm going to want to create this is if I want to create users in my Drupal out of this. So a little bit lost about what I was going to show there. These are so the basic components. We're going to go from I kind of jumped down to the bottom. I don't remember why, but it doesn't really matter. The important thing is this. Let's start the first thing. So this first thing up here is where you're saying. So what is going to trigger this thing? Is it so? This is saying basically. I'm just giving my importer a name, I'm giving it a little description, that's just to keep things, you know, clear for you. Then there's this part here, attached to content type. So this is basically when I create a content type called, I have a content type called my cable, excuse me, and when I create one of those nodes, it will be a feed. It'll be considered a feed type. And then you have this idea of how often it refreshes. So like I said, you have this idea of being able to import once or alternatively to import on a regular basis. And so that's what these are right here. So this is import on submission. That means the moment I create a cable, it's going to go ahead. I'm going to create the cable. It's going to have the extra stuff I may need to fill in for associated to this feed. And when I click save that node, it's actually going to go and run the import. Alternatively, I could turn that off and wait till I actually go visit that node and click on the import thing to get that done. So, and then that little summaries obviously are provided for how you configured it. Fetchers. So, the two that come with managing news here, there are surely others. I shouldn't say that. There might be others. These are the only two I've ever had a need for. HTTP, so I'm getting it off of the web or right from a file. This means that this one is selected. This is the one I could select. Sorry, right now we're not starting from scratch. This is one I had already created, so excuse me for that potential confusion there. depending on which one you select, then you, so in this case, I had selected HTTP Fetcher. That's why it's here. And then there's additional settings associated to that. I'm not even expert on this. So auto detect feeds, use PubSub Hubub, whatever. Parser. So this is, again, one where, you know, all that list of those modules we listed on the other page, you know, adding those modules will add more options here. One of my favorite ones is this XPath HTML parser. And in any case, whichever one you select, you then have a settings page to work with. So what is... I'm not going to go into XPath just yet. Let's try... But let's look at some of these. So, you know, RSS, 1.2, Atom. This is saying, you know, this is a parser that's saying do both things. Not only go and get the content, but then try and do the term stuff with it. Comma-separated value tables. OPML is a... So a site that aggregates 300 feeds would be wise to show you, have an OPML page, which is a listing of all the feeds that it's basically getting. And so this would allow you to take one of those files and basically figure out what all the feeds are inside of there. Query path parser. So this is a way to parse XML or HTML using a query path. So if you're a jQuery lover, you might like this better than the XPath parser one. I'll just skip the site. So, well, parse sitemap. So these are the official standard sitemap XML format. And then this XPath HTML parser, XPath XML parser. So it depends whether it's, you know, XML or HTML. But basically, this is the tool. The query path parser and the XML XPath parsers are the tools that you can use to go and scrape content off of actual web pages. So we can actually look at how I configured this XPath HTML parser. So first thing I should probably do is figure out where the WikiLeaks... So where is that page? Okay, right, I gotta find the cables. Excuse me a second. Wow. Yes. So here's an example of a really crappy interface, and there's reasons for this. I mean, they're trying to make it really portable and, you know, not killable, but it means that you have a page that doesn't have a search engine, that has very little in terms of sorting capacity. You basically just have to click your way through these things to get anywhere with it. It uses some of the tags, but it can't do anything smart like show me something that's about the United States in 1973 and associated to the PRF tag, whatever that is. So you can't do anything smart with this. The best you can do, like I said, is to go to particular dates and then find the list and then go through them. So what I was trying to do, and I'm not promising a demo here because I'm not, but is, so what I was playing around with is the idea of, you know, getting these dates here, that being my original kind of source, out of, for each one of these things, I have a table which sometimes has one result, and more interestingly, other times we'll have hopefully more results. Being able then to create a node, a feed node, so you remember I'm going to import again because this isn't really the data I want. The data I want is actually on this page, and this is the stuff I want. So my first importer is taking each one of the date pages down here, and then going and creating a node, a feed node, out of all the table records it finds. And then a second parser will then go and take all those nodes and import the actual values I want. And let's look at a little bit how that's done. So what am I wanting? I'm wanting this link right here, because that's the thing that's actually going to lead me to my page. I should have done this right before inspect element. And where is it again? I did forget to confirm this right here. There's a right-click somewhere where I say, oh, right. I think it is here. Is it? Right-click, yes. So this little tool down here, for those who don't know it, is a plugin for Firefox called Firebug. Most of you, if you don't have it, you should get it if you're doing Drupal, because this is just, there's no replacement for this, really. There's also a web developer plugin, but Firebug pretty much wiped that off the map as far as I'm concerned. So what's cool here is that, so here, you know, I'm looking at my HTML. I figure out the element that I want. I'm right-clicking on this thing, and I'm saying copy XPath. So where can I just put that? Let me just show you. So that's what it copied. Okay, what does this mean? This means that I want you to go find that is an identification of something that's inside the HTML tag, inside the body tag, inside a div, inside the second div within that div, and then a table within there, a tbody in there, the second row in that table, a cell, and then the link. So that's the XPath for that item in your XPath, in your feeds XPath HTML parser settings. This is what you basically do with that. You break it up a little bit. Note one thing: do remove the tbody thing. That just messes everything up. But otherwise, this is saying that I want you, the parser, to go get all the stuff in the second row. And then I want you to create a node. Well, actually here, what am I creating? I'm creating, the one we happen to pick here. Okay, right, this is my cable extractor. This was kind of the second step of it. I'm saying create a node with what is the title of the first cell. So notice I added that part, did I? Or it's, I guess, just a different example. I'm sorry, this is confusing things a little bit. But basically you're saying that you're breaking that one XPath into two pieces, one being the context, the blob you want to go get, and then within that blob, go and find me the first cell, and in fact the link of the first cell. And then, what do I want to do with that? Well, in this case, I'm saying I want to create and or update nodes. But where am I putting that? Let's look at mapping. So once you have this is the mapping, I should say, particular to XPath. What you see in this one, in this page, will be different depending on the approach you take. If you're starting from a CSV file, over on the left here, you'll see all the headings of your fields that are from that table. And on the right, you'll see, you know, your Drupal fields that you can push those into. In the context of XPath parser, all you're doing is basically creating more XPath. You'll see if this should work there. Come on. I did click, right? Just too slow. I'm too fast. An illegal choice, I guess, because I clicked too many times here. Right. Right. I didn't quite do it right here, so I should just remove that one. But the basic idea, see, it's just going to create you XPath parser 0, XPath parser 1, XPath parser 2. It's not very clear, but then you're associating what you want it to map to. I'm just saying in the path of XPath parser, these are just 0, 1, 2, 3. When you actually do the import and the testing, it shows you what those things are, so you can make sense of it all. But this is basically where you're mapping from your source to your destination. Okay, let me remove this. So I probably shouldn't go much further into that. Yes, I will. Okay, hold on. Let me go back to my feed importers and find a better one. That was the one I was just doing. I don't know. Let's see if that... I haven't touched this project in ages. So let's see what kind of mapping we have here. Oh, okay, now we got lots of mapping on this one. Okay, that's neat. What else do I have here? So the workflow, especially with this XPath parser, is a little weird. When I was looking at my context earlier, I didn't have all these things. Basically, you kind of got to go down to the mapping and say, yeah, give me another one. And then you go back up to the settings of the parser itself, and then that other one will appear, and then you can define what you want. So again, this is a more complex example. It's saying go through, you know, go and get everything that is in the row of the table in the row of the table in the second div within the first div that's in the body, which is in the HTML. Anyway, go get all that stuff, everything in that row. And then the title, I want the first cell in there, the link of the first cell. I did the same thing for the reference. Here, I want the actual URL, not the link, but the URL that it's going to. Here, I'm saying that the second topic, which was, so where are my leaks? They must be all the way over here. So at some point, you know, I've got this subject. So that's not the first cell, it's the second cell. And that's what we were seeing. Boy, I gotta get rid of some of this stuff. There you go. So the first one was to get that first link. The second is to go get the cable subject. Anyway, you see how it's done. So within that first, I've got a blob, which is the context, and then I'm getting the individual pieces. Yeah. No. If my memory is right, this is actually going to get just the first cell. So this is just the first cell. If you wanted every line, and this is worth mentioning, it's something like that, a double slash. I will recommend you look into the documentation of this. But basically, but that's a great point to stop me on, which is, so these are fields. Well, what if I wanted several values? You know, I've got, instead of creating a node, I need to be clear about this. This first one is saying, I want one node. And for every node, populate each of these fields. If I wanted to get, this is saying, for every row I'm going to find, actually, I'm lost now. I forgot even what it is, because it's really about where this slash is, and I don't want to get too lost in XPath parser, because it's just a subset of the whole topic we're covering. But basically, it's like this is saying get one cell. If I want to get multiple values, if there are lots of links in there, I could add a double slash like this, and that's going to say in that one field, I want multiple values in that one field on that node. And I have to admit, it wasn't immediately obvious to me, and you play around with it. Beauty is, though, once you import all this stuff, you can just delete it, and delete imports or whatever, start again. It's quite easy. And the big thing I lost time with was figuring out that this double slash was some kind of like get all of them versus get one of them, and the idea of remove the T body stuff from that path, because that just took me a long time to figure out why nothing was working. Eventually, let's see if this does anything. I don't know what I have here. Is this like online or something? It should be localhost. Okay. So, So this is what? This is nothing. Nothing working. So I'm not going to demo it. How about that? Let me just see where I am on this. I'm not really sure how much time I have. 20 minutes, keep 10. Okay. So I guess we would like to try one example of something, right? Okay. So how about let's create a new one. Let's give it a shot. See if this works. Feed importer. New importer. I should have just clicked on that right away. What are we going to import from? Let's try this CIA World Factbook. I'm not going to try and do this double step process. I'm just going to keep it simple, or try and keep it simple. Let's see. Can I inspect the element of this? Looks like you can. Can I get a XPath? I'm kind of worried about this, but hey. This is my CIA demo, which... okay, create. Wow. Okay, so what do I want here? You start from the top and work your way down. I want, I didn't mention this last time. Last time I said it was when I was going to create a My Cable feed, for example, it was going to launch the importer. In this case, you can say, no, it's not associated to any node type. I just want a form. Use a standalone form where I'm going to go and stick in the URL that I want you to go get, where I'm going to stick in the file name that's on my local machine. So we're saying, yeah, standalone form. Sounds good to me. Let's say never updates. Import on submission. You don't have to, I don't believe you have to save every time, but, I'm doing a demo. Might as well play it safe. Although then I'm playing it long and slow. Fetcher. So where am I getting this data? Well, I'm getting it from HTTP, which is already selected here. So then let's look at the settings of that thing. I don't know what that is, so I keep moving. That's how Drupal works, right? If you don't know what it is, don't touch it. So now we're at the parser. What are we wanting to parse? Well, let's assume that this XPath stuff is going to work. So we're going to go, and it's not. We're not parsing XML. We're parsing HTML. Selecting that thing. Okay. XPath is selected. I could look at the settings right away, and I believe we'll see there's nothing. Right? It's because no mappings have yet been defined. This is that workflow, kind of backwards workflow I was talking about. We'll go ahead and continue top to bottom and then come back up. What do we want to create? Let's create just regular nodes. That's what's already selected. Fine. Node processor. What kind of node do I want to create? Whoops, I probably should have created a content type first for this. Let's just add a really simple one, and this will be my demo content type. Yeah. Yay. Type, no, let's be serious. Demo content type. Save. Okay, come back to the importer. I figure if I say save, it'll probably get smart and figure out that there's something new in there when it reshows me the same page. Yes, good. So, this is saying I'm wanting to create and or update nodes of type my demo content type, input format, author stuff. This is, do I want it? Just once or never. Again, in terms of updating, you have a few extra options down here. Do not update existing nodes. Do replace existing nodes. Or do update the existing nodes, but that's saying it's a slower deal. And then we go down to mapping. And we'll say, well, what is this? There is nothing here. So let's say I want to use XPath. I mean, it's already defined, so I don't really have too many choices about it. And the first one, I'll put it in the title. That's the only field we really have other than the body. But see, there's some other stuff here that you get kind of for free, you know, that other Drupal elements you can map straight to the user and stuff like that. Map the user ID. So now I've basically said, okay, I want to use this XPath to generate my title, but then how do I define that? I need to go back up to the XPath parser settings. And here it goes. Ouch. Ouch. Okay, so I'm going to look for any T-body things in here and get rid of them. Wow, there's lots of them. You know, I'm not guaranteeing this is going to work at all, but... Oh, wow. They like the tables. Oof. I really could have found... Oh, my God, really? Did I, like, paste twice or something? I need to find and replace at this point. Oh. No, wait. Okay, it's the last one. Okay. So... Not, like I said, don't remember everything. But so this is the whole path. Right? I'm not necessarily wanting... Where's my source? It was the CIA thing. I did actually take that the div here, but the context, so what I'm wanting to get is that chunk. That chunk is actually within the element above. So the chunk I'm wanting is that last div. Sorry, so used to flipping around. So let's just see what happens. I'm just going to take that last div off the end. I believe you do not want to start with the slash. Is that the case? Let's just check one of the other ones I had here just to be sure. Excuse me. Is it the wrong site or is it? I don't even know. Hey, let's just try it. Select queries you would like to return. So it can give you back, it can go inside. So if I say this, it's actually going to, I think, give me the div and everything, the tags and all that as well. So I don't think I want that. XPath options, you know, spit out on the screen what it found in terms of context and what it found in terms of this thing. Okay. Sure, show error messages. Helps sometimes. I really don't know. So now I've saved it. Remember, it's a standalone form. So nothing happened right there. And anyway, it would only happen once you... once you create a node. In this case, we're saying fill in the form. All right, and the one other thing I didn't like about this interface is this is for, like, modifying them. And then there's another thing. I think it's called importers. Or import. Yeah, we could do a little bit to unify these interfaces a little bit. So these are kind of like, create a node from here. It's a list of all the either the node types or the standalone forms that are associated to these feeds. And where is it? Yeah, no. Is it there? Okay, good. Whew. That looks like the white screen of death, doesn't it? Okay. So, major fail. On this form. So, hold on. Maybe dates. Let's look at that one. Oh, wow. Okay. Basically... Where you would enter it is the standalone form is essentially just that. just the URL thing. And if you put it, if you associate it to a content type, then that URL thing is added as another field onto your node form at the bottom. And if you pick the other fetcher type, which is from file, it's just the browse to file button that'll be there. So that one would just be to go to that one Bermuda page. But like I said earlier, you could use one scraper, one importer to generate feed nodes, and that's kind of your spidering part. And in fact, the one of the modules, I don't remember offhand, one of these is about being able to exactly say, hey, try and click on, like, find, it didn't work for me one time, it worked for me another time, but on things that have pagers at the bottom to try and identify the pager and click next and kind of work its way through it. So it has minimal spidering capability, but otherwise you're kind of building that yourself. While I do have just a few more minutes, I want to mention that this thing is fully featured. Is it done now? No. Right. 1 minute, 5 minutes. 5 minutes ago. Okay. Well, feature support. So you if you're using features, this will work quite well. It's object-oriented, so for those who want to program around it. What's really interesting, though, what I really love, is there's another part I didn't mention here, which is the XPath tamper. Feeds tamper, which means so you got something in, you're getting it in, but it's not in what you want. You need to rework it a little bit, and then you can do things like find and replace. So on the fly, it's going to take that thing, find and replace, and then stick it into your node. And it's got some GUI for that. If you want to go the regex direction, it lets you do that too. But it's a really handy thing. Obviously, I want to end on the fact that really this was just to whet your appetite, and I'm sorry that the demos didn't work, but there's quite good documentation. There's a lot of modules. If you go to the page itself for feeds, you will have great links to all those things. And on that, I have a bunch of references, the feeds there, documentation.